Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today in Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when every single night something makes it impossible for you to sleep? How many nights can you survive this torment? That's what we talk about today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you can, please support our program. Keep us on the air. You guys supporting it is what allows us to do this thing. $5 a month. And in exchange for that support, you get a bonus episode every single week. You get advanced episodes of the show weeks before the release to the public. You get our ebook, you get our audiobook, you get all sorts of extras. You get signed up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And that's how you get everything and keep this show on the air. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm busy, but great. How are you?
Yeah. You are busy.
I am.
You're busy getting a farm up and running.
It's a learning experience, and I love every second of it.
I can't say I ever thought I would, like, live on a farm. It's kind of, yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, like, I thought, you know, when I've run the idea through my head in the past, like, well, maybe I'll have, like, an animal or something. But it's like, as we've gotten more and more into doing this and like kind of figuring out, okay, we're gonna get some horses here, we're gonna get some cows there, we're gonna get some pigs there and chickens. It's a fucking farm. It's not just like we got some pets. It's
it's a farm.
It's a farm. Yeah. So that's interesting.
And everything has its purpose and its job.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's kind of like we were talking yesterday about the chicken coop that we're getting. You're kind of designing it like Hilltop from The Walking Dead because you have like layers of protection in between the chickens and the outside walkers, otherwise known as raccoons or whatever else eats chickens. You're going to have like a moat with,
no.
with alligators.
No moat.
And...
But I am going to get some ducks. Ducks mm-hmm. actually protect chickens. Yeah. So I'm going to have, you know, the chicken run and the chicken coop. And mm-hmm. then I'm going to have an outside layer around that where the ducks are going to live. And that's going to be their run. And they'll have a little house.
Are we going to dress the ducks up like really badass motherfuckers?
You know? Or spike collars on the ducks.
Yeah, like Biff Tannen's crew from Back to the Future 2, where it's like futuristic looking ducks.
No.
That like are like, you don't want to fuck with that duck. Like even we're like, I don't think I'm going to get eggs today
because those ducks look like they could fuck me up. That sort of duck.
No, no, but I have decided to get a livestock guard dog in the future, and we have decided whether it's male or female, it will be named Negan, and it will have a spiked collar on it.
Yep.
So, no, I'm not trying to make a Walking Dead themed farm. It's just turning out that way.
Yeah.
And then your cemetery out front that you're going to put in for fun at Halloween. Yeah, we're going to be the creepy ones in the neighborhood.
It's going to be great. Coming up on the show, find out what one of our neighbors told Jenny was illegal to do on our property. We'll leave you hanging on that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And it doesn't involve like growing weed or anything like that. It involves, and it does involve the land, though. I will say that much. Let's go to our first story. It says, I'm Michelle from Minnesota. My story takes place in Hastings, Minnesota, one of the state's oldest towns. Should I read this in Minnesotan? In the Minnesota accent?
You should not, because that would be offensive to everybody that lives in Minnesota.
If it was Wisconsin, could I do it because I'm from Wisconsin?
No, because it'll annoy me and I'll have to kick you under the desk.
I have to say, I think Wisconsinites have a stronger accent than Minnesota, but Minnesota gets all the shit. People are just like, oh, that's a Minnesotan accent. Yeah. It's like, yeah, Wisconsin's almost like.
I would have to say that, you know, I think North Dakota is getting their fair share of shit since the movie Fargo came out.
Because yeah.
Now everybody's like, oh, Fargo.
It's like there's a line north. And it's not like even the whole state of Minnesota. It's not even the whole state of Wisconsin. It's not the whole state of Michigan either. But it's like as you get further north up, to me, it's like Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And then like kind of that whole area of like northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota, and then Canada. And Canada's got its own version of it, but it's different. So anyway, I lived in a house that built in 1876.
I'm not going to do the show with you if you keep it up.
And stayed there for a little less than a year. The lease was only 6 months and I left for many reasons, some of which I will disclose now. I believe I have always been sensitive to the paranormal, mostly because I'm interested in it. So I always keep an open mind and do not try to debunk things as quickly as most people. I think that's made me more susceptible to many experiences. I'm from northern Minnesota. I went to a school at a local university there. After graduating in December of 2017 and searching for jobs for almost 8 months, I finally got a job offer in Minneapolis. This was a big, exciting, scary change for me because I've never lived in more than 30 minutes from my hometown, and Minneapolis is over four full hours away. What? What are you laughing about?
Four.
It's like I'm back to being four. That's how I talked when I was four.
I know.
I did. My Aunt Chris can attest to that. I'm sure. Oh, God. And then it said, the first thing says, I'm sure. She's listening right now and she's laughing. Chris, literally the next line says, I am sure. Because that was my big thing when I was a kid. I couldn't read. I could read, but I had this kind of impediment. And my thing that she always said to me was, are you sure? Tony, are you sure? Because I'd be like, I'm sure. And then literally, as I screwed up those lines, the next thing is, I am sure. I am sure. It does not sound daunting to most people, but it was huge for me, especially since it was the first time I'd be living alone. Finding a place to live within my price range was proving to be as difficult as finding a job. Just when I was about to give up on looking for a place and therefore about to give up the job offer, I found a place in Hastings, 30 miles from my workplace. It was not ideal since the commute would be long, but it was in my price range, which was all I really cared about at that point. It was a duplex, and the second floor of the house, I had it all to myself, and my landlord lived on the first floor. I moved in just a few weeks after signing the lease, and the very first night is when it all began. At first night, I got into bed and did my usual routine of scrolling through social media. The time was sometime after midnight when I decided to log off and try to sleep. Just as I was getting comfy and about to doze off, I heard an awful and chilling screeching and scratching noise. I shot up in bed and saw my bedroom door had opened. The awful noise I immediately attributed to the fact that my house was super humid. It was August with no air conditioning, and my door was wooden and swelling up from the heat. That explained the noise. It did not explain how it could have opened. It's just a hard time closing it. I do not know how it could open on its own. That freaked me out, but I reclosed it with difficulty and tried to go to sleep. A little while later, the same noise occurred, and sure enough, my door was open. Closed it again, and though I am self-proclaimed chicken shit, I was able to somehow fall asleep. In the morning, my door was still closed, which was a relief, but I struggled to open it myself. It took a great effort to pry that door open, which reinforced my fear of how it opened on its own. My first week there, the door routine continued to happen sometime after midnight, so I remedied that with a weight I'd put in front of the door. Never opened on its own again. Ended up being the tip of the iceberg. Sometime within the first few weeks there, I started seeing shadows cast in my room. I'd hear voices. They weren't saying full sentences, nothing too intelligible, and then worst of all, I'd see faces floating above me and around me, and I'd lie in bed trying to sleep. Creepiest part is that all this would always happen to start around midnight and ending almost at exactly 4 a.m. I've always been a night owl, so I never tried to get to sleep before midnight, plus my work hours are 3 p.m. to midnight, so I'd always be getting home right when the show was starting. As I always said, I wanted to ask my landlord if she experienced things, but I never did. I really have no solid reason for why I never asked, but the bottom line was I was just afraid of her not believing me. I started sharing my experiences with friends and family, and together we would try to debunk all these experiences, but just could not. No one thought that I was crazy or suggested was my imagination, even though I tried to justify it like that. In fact, everyone believed me, helped and hurt. I liked not feeling crazy, but it scared me even more to live there, knowing that all this stuff was really happening. I never tried to engage with the spirits or faces I would see because I was super scared of inviting interactions. I just basically lay in bed from midnight to 4 a.m. frozen, hoping the show would not last too long or become malevolent. One friend reached out to her friend, whose dad was a deacon. She relayed my story to them, and the deacon believed my story as well. He gave my friend a prayer, and she in turn gave it to me. I was even afraid to say that prayer out loud because I've seen a lot of horror movies and know that sometimes spirits get angered by that kind of thing. Instead, I just read it in my head. And whether it was mind over matter or the prayer really helped, the activity that night seemed to slow. I'd still hear things and even feel things, pressure on my bed like someone sitting on it, hands running up my back and through my hair, but I didn't see so much, which really helped. Still, I knew that being afraid every night for 4 hours was no way to live, but I had nowhere to go, and I certainly could not afford to move out mid-lease. I learned to coexist with the spirits, especially because I started working overnights at my job. I'd work 10:30 p.m. to 7 a.m., which completely fixed my insomnia issue because the spirits never interacted with me during the daytime, which was when I was sleeping, and then I'd be gone weeknights during showtime, and on weekends between midnight and 4 a.m., I preoccupy myself with chores. I'd always make sure to be listening to music or real ghost stories online to make sure I would not hear any more creepy, unexplained noises. Listening to your podcast while living in a haunted house probably sounds hardcore to some, but it helped me because it reassured me I was not crazy or alone in my feelings or experiences. My sister stayed with me periodically during my time in Hastings. Though I may have influenced her to feel spooked because of my story, she always felt uneasy at my place and even experienced the only sleep paralysis she's ever had while staying with me. This brings me to my final and worst experience there. Even though I knew better than to do so, I dozed off and took a nap in my living room around 10:30 p.m. on Saturday night. I had a spooky, surreal dream. I'll not bore anyone with those details, but the dream did end with someone hitting me with their car, trying to kill me. The shock of being hit by the car made me try and jolt awake, but I could tell I was not awake. I was in some state between consciousness and still dreaming. I was desperately trying to pry my eyes open. I even tried to open them with my fingers, but my body could not move. I could not lift my hands to pry open my eyes. I was trying to scream, whimper, cry, even whisper, but I could not do any of that. I was experiencing the only sleep paralysis I ever had. I was so panicked, but could not make any noise. It was terrifying, and it honestly felt like I was never going to end. Sometime during this horrifying experience, I started to feel like someone was slowly walking towards me to harm me. I could not see anything. I could only feel the presence. The presence was slowly getting closer and closer, coming up to me on my left side, and it felt malevolent. Miraculously, I was able to finally pull myself out of that weird paralyzing state and open my eyes and move my body before I ever saw what was coming at me. But then out of my left peripheral vision, I saw an orb floating next to me. The best way I can describe it is like a static energy ball, like what you've seen on TV when there's no signal, but in ball form and about the size of a softball. I was 100% awake at this point. I'd finally made it out of all the levels of sleep I'd been in. I knew I was awake and I knew that this was really happening. Not even had time to digest what I dreamt or even the sleep paralysis. All I could do was watch in horror as this tiny energy ball slowly came in my full view and kept floating at a steady pace past me. I'm not sure how long I watched this thing float. Could have been minutes or seconds. Finally, the orb stopped in front of my TV, which was not on, and it went into my TV screen. My TV screen flicked on and went completely white and then shut off again. The orb was gone. I sat there staring at the TV for hours. I just sat there and tried to digest the dream, the sleep paralysis, and the orb. I'd never experienced any of these things before and have not since. After I could come to terms with everything enough to function, I finally texted my friend who had been heavily invested in all of my experiences. She not only believed me, but suggested that I move out ASAP because things seemed to start getting dark. Things did not sound so playful or innocent anymore. Since my lease had been up for a couple of months, I was just paying month-to-month rent. I knew it was possible for me to leave. I just needed someone affordable or somewhere affordable to go to, which was the hard part. She came up with the idea that I live with her. Her lease renewal was coming up in a little over a month, and she just added me on. I moved out only a couple of months after that final experience. I do not know if that experience was the spirit's grand finale and final attempt to evoke something from me, or if being so busy with packing and moving kept me from having to be open and vulnerable mind for it. Whatever the reason, it was the last time I heard or felt anything paranormal there. The day I left, I finally allowed myself to verbally speak to the spirits, and I basically said I meant it no harm and only wished it well, but please do not follow me. Just leave me alone. Since I moved out in June of 2019, I've not felt any presence or anything paranormal. This just proves to me that everything that happened in that house was real, but most importantly, I left it behind. I've been interested in speaking to the person who lived there after me, but I don't know how to get her contact info without going through my former landlord, which would be creepy, so I haven't. I'm not sure if the spirits there interacted with me so much because I'm sensitive to the paranormal, or if they could sense a vulnerability in me and because I'm young, naive, and it was my first time living alone. Therefore, I was naturally scared most of the time anyway. Not sure if it was feeding off my vulnerabilities or if anyone could have had those type of experiences there. Thank you for listening to my long story. I'm a huge fan of Real Ghost Stories Online. And like I said, your podcast really helped me through a scary time in my life. Thank you.
I honestly wonder if her dream that she had right before the sleep paralysis where she woke up and saw the orb wasn't part of the whole experience. If the dream was something kind of almost downloaded to her, like maybe that's what happened to that spirit, because she talked about I think it was being hit by a car. Yeah. It was some sort of devastating, you know, most likely not going to survive kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it made me wonder if that's not the spirit saying, here's what happened to me,
here's my message. Yeah.
Not that they always have to have a message. I know everybody tries to look for a message, but I honestly wonder, since that was such a strange dream and she still remembers it, which most people don't remember their dreams very long after having them, if that wasn't more than just a dream.
I think you got a good point there. I think it's an unsolved mystery.
Could be.
I think she needs to look into that dream and see if it matches up with an unsolved murder. Or accident. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I don't know how you would do such a thing. But I mean, I guess if there's any identifying elements of the dream when you look back on it, like, is there anything identifying about the vehicle? Is there anything identifying about the scenery and the place that she... I think that would be the most telltale. If you can tell where this accident happened,
yeah,
go take a look at the history of that area. Was there ever an accident there? I mean, and see. Because that could point in a direction.
It's too bad she can't go back and ask the landlord, you know, did anybody that ever lived here die in an accident? Or even before the landlord owned it. I mean, I know landlords have to be pretty tight-lipped about things like that. My parents, it's a small story, but my parents actually, when they were first married, rented a duplex. And their landlord was not tight-lipped about the haunting there.
No, really?
No, she she actually was very confident. She knew who it was and where they were residing on the property. And this ghost liked my mom and did not like my dad.
Huh.
His name was Ferdinand. And apparently he was an ex-Civil War soldier. And for whatever reason, he was tied to the property. They said they felt him strongest down in the furnace room, which was where you would go down to do laundry. But there was an old furnace there. And who knows what was on the property before this duplex was.
Yeah.
But this was 1978. But he would open cabinets as my mom would put groceries away. And not just the random, I'm going to open and close cabinets. But he knew where she put stuff away. And he would open the cabinet that she needed opened.
That's a pretty amazing ghost.
Yeah, he would help her. And then he didn't like my dad because in the middle of the night, they'd both be lying there. Toilet would flush. They'd go check. My dad's toothbrush was in the toilet. He kept trying to flush my dad's toothbrush. So he had a sense of humor. He wasn't a terrible person.
Yeah.
He was just, you know, he liked my dad. He didn't care for my mom.
You mean the other way around?
Yeah. He liked my mom. He didn't care for my dad.
Yeah.
So...
I think I remember hearing some of those stories. Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah.
To have that. Speaking of ghosts on property. So I don't know how you worked this into the conversation with our neighbor the other day, but you were talking about, you know, normal things at first, right?
Well, what it was we were talking about how happy we are here. This is an older farmer who he actually comes and bales our back pasture, and he was going to let me know that he was going to get started. And I told him, you know, what our plans were and everything for that back pasture. And we were talking about, you know, how he asked where we came from and all that. And you know, we just kind of got to know each other. But then he said, he said, you like it here? I said, yeah, we love it here. I said, we love it here so much that when we die, we want to be buried on the property. Which is totally an overshare Aspie moment that I had, you know, and I say that just because that happens to me quite a bit.
Find out more at Aspie Acres on Instagram.
And so anyway, he just kind of chuckled. He goes, well, I think that's illegal in Arkansas. And I said, okay, well, I'll just go to the cemetery.
So he must know this from knowledge somehow.
I don't know.
Well, he found out.
I don't know. Maybe there's been a law change in the last, you know, however long his life has been. I mean, he's an older gentleman and, you know, because there used to be family plots and things like that. But maybe they have a law change to where you can't do that anymore for whatever reason. So he told me he thought that was illegal in the state of Arkansas. So I said, well, then I won't do that.
In Arkansas, a body must be buried on an established or in an established cemetery, code 2017-902. If you want to bury a body on private land, you may be permitted to establish a family graveyard. Contact the local health department and check town and county zoning before proceeding. You don't want to get it 8 feet down there and like, oh, shit, we got to take him back up because we got to go like 40 feet that way to be in code.
Well, he's half right, you know, that you're supposed to be in a cemetery unless you establish a family plot. But I don't know what that entails. And nobody, once we're gone, is going to want to buy this property with a family plot unless we really talk about how cool our family plot is. And everybody wants the Brewski family house and the family plot.
Embalming is rarely required. However, Arkansas law requires the body to be embalmed or refrigerated if final disposition does not occur within 24 hours unless cremation is planned.
Okay.
It's one of these things where you Google
and you can't stop.
Well, then now Google gives you like other questions maybe you should ask, which is like, I kind of like that because
it's a rabbit hole.
Because I don't think a lot of people think maybe I should ask these other questions too. And it's like, it becomes your brain. It's like, ask these ones, you know, buried on family property in Arkansas is what I Googled. And then it gives you all these other questions like, how long can you keep a dead body at home?
Oh, God.
A person presents little threat to public health in the first day following their death. However, after 24 hours, the body will need some level of embalming. A mortuary will be able to preserve the body for approximately a week. Regardless of embalming, decomposition will begin after 1 week. So keep that in mind. If you're thinking of doing the Norman Bates thing, you only got like 24 hours unless you do the embalming. And then after that, you're still fucked. It's gonna go bad. You know the other questions?
No, I don't.
Do worms get into coffins?
Oh, I don't want to know that. I don't want to know any of those things. So anyway, so yeah.
Soil creatures will easily get a buried body. This includes worms and ants and certainly bacteria. That said, if a body has been embalmed, the casket is vaulted to make or made of metal or cement, the body inside may last longer than expected.
I don't know. I'm kind of liking the idea of those tree pod things where, you know, they bury you and you're kind of in this pod and then you become fertilizer for a tree forever.
The coffins get filled with water.
I don't want to talk about...
I'm asking you. What do you think?
I don't know because fear of drowning. So if I'm already dead, I'm still going to be afraid that my coffin's going to fill with water.
So do you think coffins get filled with water?
I'm sure they probably do.
Coffins are not watertight. So when a grave fills with water, it also fills the coffin, which decomposes and rots bodies faster. So when you think you're like, they're in there all like just comfy laying on their bed.
They're not. They're
fucking floating in a human fish tank.
Can you imagine?
That you paid a lot of money for.
Can you imagine when they exhume bodies for crimes and stuff? If you happen to have one that got filled with water or had something else really bad happen to it. I mean, how often are they lucky that they pull it out and it just, you know, is still usable evidence?
When the weather turns warm, in some cases, sealed caskets become a pressure cooker and burst from accumulated gases and fluids in the decomposing body.
I've heard of that before.
Bodies explode in coffins. Wow. There you go. Corpses, can corpse fart? That's another question. God, it's like the more I click on these, the more questions it gives me. It like it doesn't end.
I mean, because the air will keep coming out. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
They can moan and groan. There you go. Dead bodies do fart. Okay, that was a rabbit hole. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm sure after the show, Jenny's going to go find a bury me in my backyard permit from the city.
No, I'm not.
I wonder how that's going to go.
No, I'm not going to do COVID. That to the kids. If we die and then you have to deal with it, I'm not going to make them have that headache.
But we got the permit. Like we got the permit right here.
Yeah, but what if they don't want to live here and they want to sell the property and they're like, oh yeah, by the way, my parents are buried back there. So like, you know, once or twice a year, I'm going to come put flowers on their grave and it's going to be really awkward. Of course, Harp already has told me she thinks, you know, putting flowers on graves is kind of dumb because they don't know that you're there.
Yeah, because she's like, they're out haunting shit.
Yeah.
They're not hanging out by the grave. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just going to have FTD just drop some shit off at the grave.
You're like, you're going to pre-plan flowers just to make it look like people care?
Like people cared about me.
I wonder if you can do that.
You probably can.
If that's like a thing, that would be a great service to offer. It's like someone... You're like really insecure your whole life. And it's like, even in death, you're like, I better make it look like people gave a shit. FTD keeps delivering for the next 100 years. For some reason, it's really bizarre. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony. My name is Ashley, and I currently reside in Florida. And I was calling because I have been listening to the podcast now for probably about 3 or 4 months. I listen to you guys while I'm at work and listen to something new every day. So I do appreciate that about you guys. So I was just calling in to give you guys my ghost story, which is that when I was younger, well, this is actually my dad's story, in terms of this one. When I was younger, my dad swore up and down that my grandmother, who had passed away in our home, because she did home hospice when I was about 5 years old, she had passed away. And when I was about 7, he had told us that he swore up and down that when he was sleeping one night, his bathroom was like right next to his bed in the master bedroom. And he said that he heard something in the bathroom, and he just assumed that it was my mom either getting ready for work or maybe just using the bathroom in the middle of the night, which is around 3 o'clock, go figure, the witching hour. And he looked next to him, and my mom was still laying there sleeping. So he was a little freaked out and just kind of lay there for a second. And then he said that something came out of the bathroom. He didn't really specify what it was, but then he said that he saw my grandmother's face right in front of him, right above him. And she was mouthing something. And he didn't understand, because she wasn't, like, nothing was coming out of her mouth. It was just her mouth was moving. And he said that it felt like it was some kind of warning. And then all of a sudden, she just, like, disappeared. And he said about 2 weeks later, my mother had gotten diagnosed with myasthenia gravis, which is, I don't know exactly what it is, but I do know that my mom had to have some major surgery where she had to have her chest bone broken open. And it was a pretty invasive surgery. So he stated that he felt like that was something that she was trying to warn him about. Another story was when this is actually my personal experience with my sister. Me and her were at a friend's house and we were all hanging out on the trampoline. My friend had a lot of like wooded areas and we were hanging out on the trampoline in her backyard. There wasn't really any light back there. And of course, you know, we're telling each other scary ghost stories and I wanted to go inside cause I don't really do well with paranormal stuff just because it freaks me out. And well, my sister and me got off the trampoline and my friend's mother had called us inside saying that it was too late, that we needed to come inside because we all had school in the morning. And my sister proceeded to walk towards the woods saying that it reminded her of a scene from Cabin Fever or something like that, a movie that I'd never seen. And I was like, come on, man, let's go. We need to go inside. My friend's mom was calling us. So as we're walking towards, because she's still walking towards the wooded area, all of a sudden we just see like this, like it, what you always say on like ghost hunters, you're like, oh, that's just a light. That's not an orb. That's just a light, or it's just a speck of dust or something along those lines. You know, and most of the time you just write it off. Well, me and her both saw it at the exact same time. And it literally jumped from one tree to another tree. And we just kind of stopped in our tracks. And I was like, did you see that? She's like, yes. So, okay, I'm not going crazy. She goes, no, but we need to get the hell out of here. So we ran back to the house and we just kind of never spoke of it again. And since I started listening to your guys' podcast, I had called her and I was like, hey, do you remember that? Like, were we just like being stupid teenagers and not realizing what happened? And like, maybe it was just something that she totally was something that was paranormal. She's like, I believe it 100% because of the fact that we both saw it. It was insane. Nothing scary happened. It was just that it was just something that we saw and we just couldn't believe our eyes. So, but yeah, those are the two main ones that I have. If I think of anything else, I might call in it with anybody else's experiences because it is a really fun podcast that you guys have, and it's really funny that I did not like paranormal stuff and when I was younger, and now all I listen to is paranormal and true crime podcasts, but I'm glad to be a part of it, and you guys do an awesome job. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that story with us.
Isn't that funny how, you know, she's like, I don't do well with paranormal, but she's been listening for months and months, and I'm kind of like that. It's like, I can't watch it. I can't see it. I can just listen to it.
Well, we kind of make it a non-threatening paranormal podcast. We talk about some dark shit on here, but it's, I don't know. I guess it's just the way we approach it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's lighthearted for as dark as it is, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's important because some of the stuff is pretty damn scary, especially if it happens to you. So the concept of kind of even talking about some of the stuff in a lighthearted way is like, huh? You know, I don't know. You know, it's podcasting has really opened up the door outside of stand-up comedy to discuss kind of scary things.
Yeah.
In a humorous way, mm-hmm. without having it be a big bit routine and, you know, you go on stage and do your bit about Jeffrey Dahmer, which I don't think anyone has ever said. but you know, like sometimes, you know, we find the same thing over on Dark Side of Wikipedia too, where we can talk about people like Dahmer and Ed Kemper and just horrible shit that's happened. And sometimes it lends itself to there, you can, you know, find some humor in this stupidity of some things.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff too is just, it's just too dark. It's like there's not any humor to be found here. We're just going to educate ourselves and be like, wow.
And that's why I find Dark Side, out of all the shows we've mm-hmm. ever, you know, recorded or yeah. podcasts that we had that didn't work out, I find Dark Side to me to be the hardest yeah. one to record.
I think, I mean, I've been surprised myself of just how much humor I can find in some things.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where I guess the more removed in history they are too, the further back they are, the less connected they are to current day, the easier it is, I guess, to kind of to talk and find some light in things. It is difficult to find light in some of more current day events, definitely. But sometimes some of these killers and stuff, it's like, holy shit, like you did what? Yeah. And just to kind of, I find it interesting to discuss some of that and just try to psychoanalyze, like, how did they get from point A to point B?
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually you can pinpoint a lot of things in childhood, but some of them are just like, I don't know, this person went off the rails somewhere,
right?
But it's missing from the Wikipedia entry as to where that going off the rails point was, because mm-hmm. they seem to go from like happy-go-lucky child to like, and now they're raping and killing women randomly after appearing on game shows. It's like, what the fuck happened here?
Yeah.
It's fascinating nonetheless. And I think us as humans have an extreme fascination with things that can be threatening. So that includes serial killers, it includes tragedies, it includes ghosts. And I think it's this never-ending desire to try and understand the unknown or what could be. And it's like a very primal thing in us that are, it's like, more information, more information, more information. Okay, this will help protect me. And nobody's listening to Real Ghost Stories Online or Dark Side of Wikipedia going, oh, no serial killer is going to get me because I got the info. But I think there's something in us that is craving that information.
Well, I think there is somewhat, though, with some of the episodes of Dark Side, there are some tidbits of, oh, that's how they can entrap you. It's kind of like,
sure,
you know, I know that, you know, it was fiction, but like that TV show, it really showed in a great way how they can get a hold of your information from your phone and, mm-hmm. you know, totally stalk and track you down. And it's kind of like, okay, that part of the show, I want my 14-year-old to see so yes. that she can get an idea of, this is how creepers find you and mm-hmm. find everything else about you. And but then the rest of the show obviously would be completely inappropriate for her. But I think, you know, there is some education.
There is.
It's not just entertainment. There's some education to be had.
There is, but I think it works in tandem with the other part of the human experience, and that's the it will never happen to me, where you can have all this information, and most of the population, even though they enjoy getting the, or they find interest in getting in the information, it's still an operational effect of it'll never happen to me. It happened. It already happened to them. I just heard about it. It already happened.
Yeah.
So how is it going to, you know, not that they're like thinking it won't happen again. Well, obviously some of these people are dead. These killers are, they're locked up, but it's a lot of, you get the, it's a contradictory thing that people have.
Unfortunately, serial killers are not a breed that are dying out.
They're not.
So.
No. Yeah. Luckily, there's more of them, so we can continue to have episodes.
Don't say that. So. That's awful. That is awful.
It's kind of like the premise of the show. It's like we got to go through all the old ones so the new ones can keep doing their thing, and then we can talk about them eventually. I'm kidding. That's horrible.
That is awful.
That's completely horrible.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's not how we operate the show, really.
No.
Truly. Although there will be at some point, because that's a new show.
God.
It's a, well, Dark Side of Wikipedia, which you can subscribe to wherever you download podcasts, is, it's a newer show, but 5 years in, there'll be cases that are like, this case is newer than our show. Like, this happened after we started doing the show. Because all of them now are like, you know, it's in the past.
Yeah, but we kind of focus on things people either forgot about or never heard of. And, you know, that might be still too new.
You know, some of the stuff we're talking, I mean, we're, in some upcoming episodes, we got Epstein, we got Ghislaine Maxwell, we got, and a lot of the stuff they did was previous to the show existing, but a lot of it's now coming to light as the show exists. So anyway, interesting stuff. If you like this show, Real Ghost Stories Online, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call it. Ghostpodcast.com is where you do that, or patreon.com/realghoststories to help keep us on the air. Get all the bonus content and all the good stuff right there. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for everyone at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening.